Live from... Okay, so the first title for this earthquake was Tremblement de Terre, which means earthquake in French, but naturally Haitians, they like to give everything a nickname, so that's why they settled on Godou Godou. And these are all the NGOs coming into Haiti and bringing money and supplies. You see they're all stacked up there. So, and it's funny how they, the paintings are not usually so violent. You know, they, like there's violence there, but there aren't that many dead people. Because they don't like to dwell on the negative, you know, like, you know, a brightly colored painting like this it symbolizes an event that killed upwards of 200,000 people. So, go do, go do. Now, we're going to look at some of the places that were damaged. And that is the iron market. The iron market is really the beating heart of Port-au-Prince. You can buy anything you need in the iron market. And it's said that that market was destined for India, but when they got it out of the box, they said, oh, we didn't order this one. You know, this is, but we'll keep it. We'll keep it anyway. So the minarets, and this is what it looked like after the earthquake. The minarets are gone. The cupolas are gone. And this photograph actually is... it's in the stages of being rebuilt. And so the merchants who occupied the space, they had to move outside, which they did, you know, and it's not a problem. But that's some of the destruction downtown, and that woman has a crutch, so she probably hurt her foot or something. And these are, this is the Grand Rue where buildings went down, just, you know, people lost their families, they lost their businesses, but they're back in on the Grand Rue. And you know, they're always, they make their living by selling stuff. And that's where they're going to be. These are all just ruins of buildings, people's homes and their businesses. But they're persevering. You know, everybody who has survived is back to doing what they were doing, and with smiles and optimism. You don't know what happened to this woman. Did she lose her house? Did she lose her family? You don't know, but the odds are that she probably lost somebody. Everybody must have lost somebody important to them, or they had a friend that was important to them who no longer exists. And this is the quarter of Port-au-Prince that is wood shops and laths and routers, and they're back to work selling stuff, making stuff. A lot of people work in this 5 or 6 block area of all people of all ages and shapes. That's a long shot of the their area, which really wasn't hurt as badly, because their houses and studios are made mostly from wood, and that stuff didn't really come down. The concrete is what came down and hurt people. Like, there's a building in the interior of this block, and you see there's a frame house on the left there that appears to be undamaged. They just had a good shaking and they survived, but the buildings that are made out of concrete, they came down and they hurt and killed people. There's a local yokel who back to work. This lady feeds half the neighborhood. She has a restaurant, which is here, and she makes delicious stew, and you know, sells it for a few pennies a plate. That's a building on the Grand Rue, which, I mean, almost every building on the Grand Rue. The Grand Rue is the Rue Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and it's the main commercial artery of Port-au-Prince. And most of the buildings, I think, on the Grand Rue were reduced to this. Perpetual. Yeah, the kids, I mean, I'm sure they were terrified by this, but yeah, they're back to normal. This is an old man who, I guess he's retired. This is Rosemarie, who also feeds half the neighborhood. She's a great cook, and I always give her money when I go there to feed people. And this kid, he sells water that those little bubbles contain good water, drink potable water. This guy's a jewelry maker. He doesn't appear to have a large stock, but you know, he does what he can. Yeah, this is a woman with her child. These are all people that live in this ghetto, which is an art ghetto. I get a kick of the way that girl in the red shirt is leaning on the kid like he's a fire hydrant or something, you know. And this lady sells. It seems like everybody in Haiti sells something or is carrying something. You know, they're always carrying something. If it's a little small box, or this is a lady also in that ghetto who sews for a living. This guy's a house husband. These kids are so adorable. I call that kid in the center, I don't know what the correct, politically correct method or terminology for cross-eyed is, but I call her the magic baby because she's always doing something that's unusual, and she looks unusual. This girl always, you know, you have to go get your water if you want water. That bucket is filled with water, and it's heavy. Oh, there's he again. And this is an area where they make stuff out of junk. There are a lot of automobile junk yards. So there's a lot of raw material, and these people have put it together. And they have traveled, these artists, they're called Artistes Resistance. They have been all over the world, and they still live in this ghetto. They've been, their first trip was the National Museum of Slavery in Liverpool came to Haiti looking for somebody to make a piece to commemorate the abolition of slavery. Liverpool was where most of the slave ships were made. So they came and they picked these guys who had never been out of the ghetto, and they took them to London, and they took them to Paris. They've been in Spain, they've been in Brazil, but still they live here in this ghetto. And, you know, they're very well traveled, but they choose to live here. This is the founder of Artistes Resistance. His name is Jean-Robert Eugène. That's one of his pieces. And this is a Timoun Resistance, which means child artist. And this is another artist. This is his daughter, who's also an artist. And her uncle, they're all artists. This says, this, they wrote this after the earthquake. Imagine you get up in the morning, you get up tomorrow, and the music has disappeared. So, which is basically what happened to them. That's another artist, and he has a school of young artists. This is his residence. That's his residence. He actually lives there, sleeps in that bed. He's got to move a few things, you know. But he's been, his name is Guillaudot, and he's been all over the world. He just came back from 4 months in France, where he was funded, and he calls his group Timoun Clairé, which means bright children. So these kids are all artists. Well, naturally, there's too many of them. There's too many of everything in Haiti, you know. So this kid, I think, died, passed away. But this is where they work, in the ghetto. That's a senior member of Artistes Resistance, and another one. There's the local voodoo priest who cannot keep his eyes open. I mean, I have photographed this guy's whole family, and none of them, I don't have a picture of any of them with their eyes open. This is what you see all the time on the Grand Rue, is traffic, lots of traffic. God bless me. That's Nelson Mandela. I don't know what is up on that tap-tap, but I just thought that woman looked so intense that she should be. And there's Rambo 3. We showed you Rambo 1 last week. And then the Olesen Hotel, I don't know if you... It's really... it's a famous hotel. It's gingerbread, and it's totally wooden, and it was not damaged at all. You know, it was shaken, but it did not collapse. And you know, there are great hotels in Haiti now. There's even, they built a big Best Western. I mean, there are a lot of good hotels in Haiti now. I mean, you don't have to go there and live like a, you know, a camper. There are great hotels, and the, you know, Mick Jagger has stayed here. All kinds of celebrities have stayed at this hotel. The Olufsen Hotel, the Grand Hotel Olufsen. Now, here's a neighborhood where everything sort of fell down. Like, these houses are not safe, but people were living in there. This is a shot from the inside, and these people, they live in this place, and it's really hairy in there, you know. I mean, it's going to collapse one day, but, well, they're young people. It doesn't bother them. This was the Museum of Art, Haitian. The roof collapsed. And it's not reopened yet. I think that the art was not so damaged, but the building was. Now, this is the cradle of Haitian art, the Centre d'Art, which opened in the 50s and was really the incubator for Haitian art. And it is in this condition now. It completely was damaged, and I believe they will have to raise the building. Now, here is the wonderful church. This is the Cathedral of Notre Dame, Our Lady of the Assumption. And it's a wonderful church, you know. Huge church that's always filled. And that's what it looks like after the earthquake. The cupolas are gone. And in fact, the cupolas were beacons that the ships and aircraft used to fix their navigation. That's the rosette window. This is what it looks like inside now. But the crucifix did not topple. And, you know, lots of people come and pray in front of the crucifix like this. It's really quite miraculous that the crucifix stayed up there. There's the church in the background, and at this time they were calling the earthquake the Thing, and that's Baron Samedi, and these people all perished, and they're going into that little hut which takes them below the water. That's where they go when they die. They don't really go. They go under the water for a while. Okay, so there's the Palais National, which is an elegant building. And that's what it looks like after the earthquake. And I understand that the Palais National has been rebuilt 11 times, which is, I mean, it's a long history, but it just seems... Now, you would never be allowed to sell these magazines on the fence of the National Palace. You know, they would arrest you, but since there's nobody in the National Palace now, it's a good place to sell paintings and books. And there's the Palais National collapsed. Sean Penn got quite interested in Haiti, and he has done a lot of really good work there. And he volunteered to dismantle this building. He didn't say anything about building another one, but he is, he's spent a lot of time in Haiti. I think this says man was created so Satan, to humiliate Satan. L'homme est créé pour que Satan soit humilié. Now that was on a building near the National Palace. Now this was probably the worst loss as far as churches go. These murals were painted in the 50s by the most important Haitian artists of the time. And most of them are dead now. So this was a really historic place. That's what's left of it. Which, oh, it's a tragedy. There's part of a mural there, but I don't know what they will do. That's the Smithsonian went in there to collect the smallest pieces that they could of these murals, and supposedly they are reassembling them and, you know, reconstructing them, but I think it's going to be difficult. There's the Last Supper by a very famous Haitian artist, really damaged beyond repair. What they do have in that church, it's the Trinity Episcopal Church. This is a symphony orchestra, which was back in business, operating just a couple weeks after the earthquake. And these are all young Haitians who get tutoring from visiting Americans. They get somebody in Pittsburgh sends them instruments, you know, violins, violin strings, and so they're impressive. This is the Ministry of Finance, which, you know, that will put a big hole in your government if that's where all the records were for finance. And most buildings went down. That's a grand building where it's uninhabitable inside, but the sculptures outside still are safe. That's a tent city across the street from the cathedral. These people are living on a traffic island, in the middle of a very busy street. So if you want to go to the bathroom, or your toddler wants to go to the bathroom, you have to run across the road. So, and that was still there last time I was there. So that's pretty dangerous, you know. But that's where they could find some clean space that they could use. That's a tent camp in the countryside. Now, this is the largest tent camp. This one is the Chamars, which is was a beautiful park across from the Palais National. And so people moved in here, and you know, it became their homes. It's a new normal. We live here now. And they opened stores there. You know, they raised their kids there. Ave Maria, Pagayanye, Bondu, Pakabab. There is nothing that God cannot do. Yeah, this lady looks pretty positive. She's got her TV back there, you know. So they have electricity in this tent camp. And the other thing they have is this guy. This guy has a guest room in his tent. He's welcoming his friends, you know. If you want to stop by and stay over sometime, got a room for you. And this guy used to have a shop on somewhere. So now that he's in the tent camp, he's selling his salami there. And the most important thing that why people would stay in a tent camp is because they have clean water there, you know, rather than go back to their homes. We saw already. Oh, we see that?
When were these pictures made?
What's that?
When were these pictures made?
These were made in August of 2011. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a, a rather impatient look for her little brother who had just stolen that piece of string from her. But she forgives him. Yeah, these are families that live in there, and, you know, they eat fairly well, or at least as well as they used to, plus they have water, and that kid's a little scared. You know, the tents become houses, really. You know, they have permanent doors. This lady is a seamstress. She, if you give her a shirt, she'll embroider it. That's a clinic. Yeah, which is a definite advantage that, you know, you can go to this clinic and be seen by a doctor, and you can have fresh water. And this is a tattoo parlor. It's also in this tent camp. Business as usual. And this is where the water emerges, and this is where a lot of people get washed and get water to drink. And, you know, they don't have to walk 5 or 7 blocks to get water. They get it right a block from their house. So clean water, free. Potutmun, everybody gets clean water. And Oxfam, that building houses still a sculpture of Toussaint Louverture or somebody, and there that I think that's Toussaint Louverture on the horseback, because he was called he was an expert horseman. There's a kid getting a bath. That kid. So there's Neg Marone. He's still there, but he has changed his occupation. He's a drying rack now, which, you know, people that probably respect him even more for that they can dry their clothes on him. So new bouquet means we're broken. And I think I saw that around Port-au-Prince. We are broke. Anyway, that's the end. And, I really encourage everybody to go to Haiti. They're fabulous. They're great hotels. You know, they have new hotels. There's a Best Western there. You could stay at the Olufsen. And, you know, I'm always uplifted when I go there. So I imagine you will be too. That's it. I don't know what that is. What's that?
Do you want to talk a little bit about the paintings here?
Yeah, this is the Church of St. Gerard in a neighborhood of Port-au-Prince. And this church did not go down like so many of the others did. So there's a lot of activity around it. And this is a Cape Haitian style painting. You know, the Haitians are very fond of parades. They love to have parades. And so that's a parade. And yeah, here we have jungle paintings. This is a cemetery painting. And please take a card. There are plenty of cards up here. And we will go to our website or come visit us in Highland Park. We'd be happy to see you and show you a lot more stuff. Well, you know, they travel now. They love to travel. And but, you know, it's not how they love their home too. I mean, this area, Artist Resistance, it's a living museum. It changes every day. For people who don't go to museums, you know, they live in one. But they're getting more and more sophisticated, but they don't, I don't think they want to move out of their neighborhood because they're traveling most of the time. One of these guys just came back from France where he did a four-month residency, and there was a big, fabulous show in Paris. Two centuries of Haitian art. Big show, very big show. And they all went, but they're all back in Haiti now, you know, so.
When we go to Haiti, we tend to go straight from Port-au-Prince up to the mission and don't spend time in Port-au-Prince. And partly my fear has been crime in Port-au-Prince. I wonder if you might speak a little bit about that, if you've been there.
Well, you know, I've had one bad experience in 41 years. And that was when I used to pull my car inside the iron market so I could buy stuff, you know. And I put my car inside because everybody said, yeah, it's no problem. So this guy comes by and he's blowing his horn my horn. And he says, what do you have this car here? You're not allowed to have this car. And he has mirror sunglasses, which is always a bad sign. You know? The mirror sunglasses are no-no. So I said, well, you know, somebody told me that I could put it there. In fact, the chief of the market told me. And he starts pushing me. And so I finally pushed him, and he pulls out a pearl-handled silver revolver, and he starts jamming it into my... Well, the Haitians, I buy from, they converged on this guy like a water spout and took him one way and me the other way. And that's really the only... thing that ever happened to me. I've never been afraid there because the first time I went there, I was treated with such gentility and like a family, you know. And so I've never been assaulted or nothing. In fact, I kind of wish they would kidnap me one time just to find out what it's like, you know. I figure I'd be able to talk them out of, I have no money. No, I have nobody you can ask for money for me, so.
Well, that's been our experience as well, is the, you know, the people of Haiti are so kind and so willing to give of themselves and give whatever they have to you or make you comfortable. But
yeah.
I thought maybe that was just within the mission. I wasn't sure.
No.
You know, that
no,
was
it's
the way
it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Yeah, they're very, very generous people, and they want you to buy stuff from them.
That's true too. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they really want you to buy stuff from them. You know, but I mean, if you're having dinner at the Olufsen, you leave a tip for the waiter, and you know he's making money, and his he can feed his wife and kids. You know, so I say we need an invasion of credit card holders to go down there and buy stuff. You know, and there's great, wonderful stuff for sale there. You know, of all kinds. So I say go to Haiti. ASAP.
You showed us a very rich array of pictures showing how people live now. You kind of took us on a tour of how they live. How did they live before we were here? How would you describe their living quarters?
Well, they're, you know, they're modest, but there's always color. You know, there's always... a mural, or and the tap taps are unending stream of moving galleries. You know, they every tap tap is painted individually to convey a message. Or you know, it could be a saint, it could be Rambo, it could be Obama. You know, but I think you know. I sort of don't really notice the poverty as much as I notice the overwhelming enthusiasm of the people. Like, you know, they're not supposed to be like that. They're poor. They're really poor. Sometimes their kids are dying, you know, but they're very optimistic and very positive. So, and as far as color, I mean, every space that could be painted is painted. And, you know, yeah, they live very poor sometimes, some places. You know, there's like City Soleil, which is a bad slum. But even City Soleil now, I think, is there artists are emerging from there. Because art will save this country, you know. I mean... art will definitely, you know, that's, it generates income, it gives the people something to do. You know, I mean, there are so many Haitian artists. If your brother-in-law painted a giraffe and somebody bought it, then, oh my God, everybody in the family is going to paint giraffes. You know, so they sell. No, they sell. So paint giraffes. Yeah, I mean, I just think Haiti is one of the most wonderful places I've ever been.
What can you say about Haitian families? I mean, we have families in America. We have domestic violence, rape, child abuse, drug abuse. You name it. Not every family, but
yeah. Well, you know, it is a problem when a Haitian goes to New York or wherever and learns how to be ugly and violent, and they get deported back to Haiti, and they, you know, they infect the place. You know, they usually move back to these ghettos, and so some of them are dangerous, but, you know, usually, like right now, there's political activity there, and they want Martelly to, he dissolved the parliament, and there should have been an election by now, and there hasn't. But you usually know, if you ask at your hotel, or you ask at the friend that you're staying with, where shouldn't I go today? And they always know that. Now there's a demonstration on the Grand Rue. I wouldn't go down there today. You know, go there tomorrow. But yeah, I think you learn violence better in New York than Haiti. Yeah. So, any more questions? Well, yeah. I'll take you. Well, you know, my view is that you don't really need anybody to take you. You know, there are hotels there, and there are guides, and, you know, I was doing a talk one time at Brown University, and there were people who ministered to seriously injured Haitians who were still outside on the ground after the earthquake. And he said that night, he said, they broke out in a hymn, you know, and they all started to sing this hymn. And that's more, you know, I mean, you can find rapists and kidnappers, I guess. But, you know, to me, the good really definitely outlasts the negative. Yeah, I think most Haitians are, they're good family people, you know.
What sorts of drug issues would they have?
Traffic?
Drugs.
Well, Well, yeah, you know, Haiti is a big transshipment point for, I guess, cocaine and marijuana from South America to New York. So there's a lot of it there. But I don't know, you don't see addicts laying around the streets and, you know, I mean, if you don't go near those places, I don't know. Maybe I've just been lucky and I'm looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, but I don't know. I don't, they don't scare me. And they, you know, my first trip to Haiti, I lived in a little village, a village that was about a two-hour walk out of Cape Haitien, a village called Labadie. And, you know, I just fell in love with the Haitian people there. They were so kind and to me, to each other, you know. So I guess I'm not a source of bad news about Haiti. And unrealistically cheerful. Yeah. Anyway.
To the extent that art can reflect the hopes and desires or fears of society.
Yeah.
Have you seen changes over the 40 years and specifically after the earthquake? Has their art changed?
Well, I'd say the art changed when Baby Doc was kicked out. You know, then you had more. Before Baby, I remember seeing Sam Donaldson on the news back in February of 86. Baby Doc left on February 7th, 1986. And people were doing graffiti on the walls. And I said, "Ooh, I've never seen that, them do that before." You know, and it said, you know, Ale Duvalier Papa Kaka, which is pretty insulting to Senior Duvalier. And I thought, and Sam Donaldson said, "This revolution has been stopped. It will not succeed." I said, "I don't think so. Not if they're doing that kind of graffiti, you know." And, you know, I mean, it got rid of Baby Duck, and that's when artists felt comfortable enough to start doing satirical political paintings. Because I knew an artist, a chicken painter. He was would paint chickens in the form of human beings, and a lot of them were not very complimentary because symbol of the Tantang Makuts, who were the bad guys, was a guinea hen. So he would paint guinea hens being pummeled by these chickens, you know, and he would take them to the gallery wrapped in paper in a tap-tap. And he was afraid. He said, "Oh, you know, I was afraid to take those." Because, and plus, not to mention they're signed with his name. So I think it was after Baby Doc left that they felt more comfortable painting political paintings. Yeah. Well, it's been nice. Thank you very much. I'd love to talk about Haiti. And